This is the On the Line Podcast.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the On the Line Podcast. Here again with Noah. How you doing, man?
Doing good, man. Ready for the show. Got our NFC MVPs coming up. I'm real excited for it.
I'm excited too, dude. It's a great show. I'm actually really pumped. I haven't been this pumped for a show in a while, but what we're going to do is we're going to start off with the Patrick Mahomes news that struck the NFL world last week, and then we're going to go into the In the News segment. We're going to talk about the Raheem Mostert potential trade, Terrell Pryor landing spots, the Patriots clearing some cap room, and then we're going to get into some events that happened over the weekend, such as the UFC fight and the FedEx Open that happened in golf. Then we're going to take a commercial break and we're going to come back. And like Noah said, we're going to do our NFC team MVPs. And we brought back for a second week in a row, got great feedback. Ryan Porteous is back. Ryan, how you doing?
Glad to be back. Thanks for having me, guys.
It's exciting, dude. I'm ready. I'm so ready. It's going to be a great show. Exactly. Let's start off right here with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, Patrick Mahomes got a contract for $503 million total, the richest sports contract ever made for a player in any sport. And that's kind of absurd that it was made to an NFL quarterback just because it's a very injury-prone position. And normally when you think about big contracts, they always come in other sports like NBA, even soccer internationally gets it, MLB, because MLB, they don't have a salary cap. So it's all, you know, teams can pay players as much as they want. But, you know, I want to hear your guys' initial reaction. Let's start with Noah. Noah, what do you think about this contract for Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not necessarily the biggest advocate for paying too much for any position, but Pat Mahomes is the future of the sport. I mean, he's going to be the best QB in the league, best player, best icon, whatever you want to call it. I mean, he is the future. I only say that he's second because of Russell Wilson. I'll continue to say that again. He's my guy. But Pat Mahomes, moving forward, I mean, he is the future. I really do like the term that they locked him up for. I mean, it's 10 years. They want him to be Kansas City's QB for life. Just the dollar figure. Like you said, it's $503 million in total. That's with all of the incentives and stuff. That's all the maximum amount of money he can get. But the base salary is still $450 million. I mean, average salary of $45 million, and they backloaded it too. So he'll be making the majority of his cash in the middle of that contract and all the way through the end to the later end of the deal. But Ryan, what do you think about it? I mean, is it a good deal for Kansas City? Do you think that they made the right move paying him this much money, or do you think it was a little too much?
I mean, absolutely. He's, like you said, I think he's arguably the best quarterback in the league. Noah, you think he's second, but I mean, absolutely. I think it was a great sign for them. Lock up he's not just the face of the Chiefs. He's the face of the NFL right now. And I think what giving him that much money just proves that, you know, that he is the face of the league. So, I mean, like I said, half a billion dollars. That's a crazy, crazy contract. But I mean, like it's just worth it. I think he's worth every penny. Absolutely.
You know what? I'm going to disagree with you there. I don't think that the contract is necessarily good. And I might catch a lot of blowback for that because it's really been praised. People say he deserves it. He does. In my opinion, he's the best QB in the NFL right now. But why would a team want to give a QB in a position where you can be very injury prone? I mean, Mahomes was injured last season. He missed a few games. I mean, you look at some of these QBs, you look at like Aaron Rodgers, like once he goes down, like the team's shot. And especially you put your team in a very bad predicament when you pay a QB that much money. And granted, he goes down, you know, you can't afford a really good backup. And the weapons that you have around him can't be that good unless you drafted somebody really good. Because in order to have a top tier weapon, you're going to have to pay him a lot of money. So it's going to be really hard in a situation where Patrick Mahomes can't take the field. And, you know, maybe down the line, they don't have the Legion of Zoom between Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman, and Tyreek Hill. It's going to be kind of hard for them. So I think that locking him up for 10 years, yes, you want to take Patrick Mahomes with the Chiefs and make him into a multiple time Super Bowl champion. But in my opinion, I don't think the Chiefs or Patrick Mahomes, I don't think that he's going to win over one more championship. I think one more championship for him. And I think that's it. I don't think that he's Tom Brady. I mean, Tom Brady made his brand off of consistency. He didn't make his brand off flash, which is what Patrick Mahomes is. And you know what? I think that it was the system that he was in and the way that he was able to just methodically move his team down the field and win games, dissect defenses, have that football IQ. I think that's what really made him win also championships. And I don't see that with Patrick Mahomes. I see Patrick Mahomes as an arm talent, and I see him as just making miraculous plays, but I don't know if he can do that for 10 years straight. I mean, what do you guys think? Do you guys think that the length of the contract is appropriate, or do you think it kind of puts the Chiefs in a little bit of a predicament?
I mean, I personally, he's 24 years old. He's going into, what, his fourth season, and he's already an MVP of the league, a Super Bowl MVP, and he's a Super Bowl winner. So, I mean, I got to disagree with you there, Mark, where he's going to possibly only win one more. I can definitely see three or four more championships easily with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that AFC is, I mean, it's pretty much wide open. Besides the Ravens, I mean, you got an up-and-coming, I like Broncos up-and-coming. I like what they're doing with Drew Lock and the weapons that John Elway has given him. You know, a lot of young talent there, so watch out for the Broncos in a few years. But I personally, at 10 years, I like it. Maybe the money of $45 million per year, I you know, it's tough. You can't really, it's tough to build a team around someone like that, especially with football. Football is not a one-man team.
I have a question for you. Do you think that Patrick Mahomes will have a better legacy once it's all done than any QB playing right now, even Tom Brady? Do you think that he will have a better legacy than any of these QBs?
It's a tough question. I mean, Tom Brady's arguably the greatest quarterback of all time, six Super Bowls, and could possibly win the seventh with the stacked Tampa Bay D.A.
He could.
Roster.
And you know what? Let me make it a little more specific, because I was a little general there. Do you think that he would have a better legacy than, say, either Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers? Do you think his legacy, his statue, you know, his ranking, I guess, in QB rankings, once it's said and done after the 10 years, do you think it's going to be better than Rodgers and Wilson?
I will say definitely better than Rodgers, because he won the Super Bowl younger than Rodgers, first off, and plus Rodgers sat behind Brett Favre for 4 or 5 years, and that, I mean, that's great for him. Like, he learned so much from behind such a, you know, one of the best quarterbacks of all time. But you know, he four or five years that he sat behind Rodgers, like that's tough. Mahomes only sat for a year, and he's already an MVP and a Super Bowl winner. So I would say definitely better than Rodgers. I mean, Russell Wilson's a different person. Like, he's just a different breed. He's, you take away Wilson from the Seahawks, and you know, Seahawks are probably a 3-10. I mean, a 13 team. But anyway, I don't know. I mean, I don't think he'll be better than Brady by the end of it, but he will be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
No, what do you think?
I do think when it's all said and done, I think his legacy will end up being greater than Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. But I do think his window for a championship, like you said, you think that he won't win more than one other one. I'm inclined to agree with you just because of how the Chiefs have set up this contract. The reason why they backloaded is because I think they also know that with the roster that they have right now, they can't keep it together with Ty Hill, with Travis Kelce, Eric Fisher, Tyrann Mathieu. These are all stud players. And in 2 to 3 years, they all are going to have to get paid. So, and they're not going to be able to pay every single one of them. If they do so, they're going to be so much weaker at every other position because they're going to have so much money tied up in just a handful of guys. I think those players are worth sort of every penny you want to give them. They're all worth pretty big contracts. But is Kansas City going to be able to afford a championship team along with Patrick Mahomes and paying all of those nice weapons that they've already had? No. I do think that their championship window is limited to the next 3 years. Like I said, his contract is backloaded. At one point, I think his cap hit's going to be up around $60 million. That's all the way in 2027. I think we're thinking way too far into the future when he's in his 30s. he's 24 years old right now, so I think in the next 2 to 3 years, we could definitely see another Kansas City championship. And if we get 1 to 2 more, I do think his legacy will be greater than Rodgers and Wilson, because between the two of them, I mean, if Pat Mahomes gets 2 more, he'll have the same amount. So, yeah, when it's all said and done, I do think Pat Mahomes will have a greater legacy than those two.
I think that, you know, and going back to the Super Bowl conversation, in the past 20 years since 2000, there's only a handful of QBs that have more than one Super Bowl win. And when you talk about it, you got Tom Brady. I mean, obviously Tom Brady. Peyton Manning, he's got 2. Big Ben, he has 2. And Eli Manning has 2. And that's it. Everybody else, you know, either has 1. So that's what kind of dissuades me. It's like, you know what? Is Patrick Mahomes the next Tom Brady? I don't know. But it's very hard for a QB to win just 1, let alone 2. I mean, 2 is kind of absurd. It's a very selective list that's won more than 1. And I, you know what? Like you said, their cap space is going to be kind of hard. Their defense is not, you know, it's nothing stellar. The reason why Big Ben and Eli Manning were able to win those Super Bowls was because their defenses were very good. And they had, you know, miraculous plays in the Super Bowl. I mean, Eli Manning, the David Tyree catch, Big Ben, the Santonio Holmes catch. It's kind of like absurd. But, you know, Tom Brady, he dissects defenses, and that's what kind of made him win so many Super Bowls. So, you know, I don't know if Patrick Mahomes will be able to win more than one Super Bowl, but nonetheless, really good for him. You know, it's amazing for him at such a young age. He was able to do it. Russell Wilson did it at 25. So, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, following in the footsteps right there. They're both amazing talents. So I guess it'll be really exciting to see what happens with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs in the upcoming future and see if that contract pays off. But let's move on to the In the News segment, where we talk about news stories that happened over the past week. Let's start right here with Raheem Mostert. Raheem Mostert was not satisfied with his contract with the San Francisco 49ers. The San Francisco 49ers had Raheem Mostert on a contract just for special teams. And last season, Raheem Mostert went into the running back role and was really a bell cow back there when Tevin Coleman couldn't play. He filled in for Matt Breida. And I mean, they have Jerick McKinnon, but he didn't really see the field last season. So he really filled the role, and he felt disrespected that he wasn't being paid for that.
I honestly like Jacksonville for Mozart. One reason is because Leonard Fournette's, you know, his contract's up. He's carrying an $8.6 million cap hit this upcoming season. So if they can trade him and acquire Mostert, they could still be under the cap space, which would be good for Jacksonville. But by trading Fournette away, you're definitely going to need to replace him with someone, and I think Mostert would be a good solid replacement for him, especially with a rebuilding Jacksonville team.
I like that. Noah, what do you think?
Yeah, Port, I like that Jacksonville location for him. With all the controversy surrounding Fournette, does he want to play there? Does he not? Are they going to move on? Are they going to keep him? I think Mostert would give them a good depth of the backfield, and they don't really have a stud backup there either. So regardless of whether Fournette stays or not, I think that's a good option. But one other landing spot I think he could go to is the Chicago Bears, mainly because I don't know if they're totally sold on the backfield they have there right now. David Montgomery was supposed to be a breakout candidate last season. This is only his second year coming in, but is Ryan Pace sold on him? I mean, he's the GM there. He's got to make the decisions. Is Matt Nagy sold on him? I mean, look, I think Nagy is going to give David Montgomery another chance. I don't think they're going to trade him away. And they know what they have in Tariq Cohen. But what happens if one of those guys goes down? And we know Cohen isn't a runner. He's mainly a pass catcher. And we've seen what Mostert can do behind a decent offensive line. I think that if they did add Mozart to that backfield, it would give either Foles or Trubisky or whoever's back there for them, give them every chance to succeed with a solid run game to take the pressure off of the pass game. That's been Nagy's MO with his QBs, is just keep defenses on their toes with a dynamic run game so they can throw the ball whenever they need to. So I think he would be a great addition to that backfield. I think it would just make it a lot more dynamic.
I like that too. That's a good pick right there. I think Chicago does need help in that backfield. I don't know how David Montgomery is, and Tariq Cohen is not just the number one back. He just, you know, I don't think that he can really get it done. But my pick for Raheem Mostert, I like him to go to Atlanta because they just got Todd Gurley, but Todd Gurley's injury prone. No one really knows what kind of shape he's in. So, you know, maybe trade for him, bring him into Atlanta, and if Todd Gurley can't go every down, you could put Raheem Mostert in. I know they have Ito Smith, but, you know, Raheem Mostert's not a bad option there. A theory that I had that I discussed with Ryan and Noah before the show, but a theory that I had was the day that he got traded, I was thinking, and I was like, you know what? San Francisco, they might need somebody else. They might need somebody else in the backfield because Jerick McKinnon's very injury prone. And Tevin Coleman, he has his injury problems as well. And I was thinking, I was like, you know what? Who's an available running back? And the light went off and I was like, you know what? Devonta Freeman still needs a job. And Devonta Freeman used to play in Atlanta with Shanahan and Tevin Coleman as his tailback partner. And you know where both of them are? In San Francisco. So I thought, why wouldn't Devonta Freeman want to sign with the San Francisco 49ers, reignite with his old offensive coordinator and his old teammate in the backfield? They already know each other. They have a great chemistry. Arguably, Tevin Coleman and Devonta Freeman had their best seasons when they were a tandem together, I would say. But, you know, I think a reuniting of both of them in San Francisco would make that backfield complete. It would really cover any injury concerns that they had. And, you know, like I said, Devonta Freeman's familiar with Tevin Coleman, and he's familiar with Shanahan. So I think that would be a good fit there if they're able to ship Mostert out. But as a landing spot for Mostert, I think Atlanta. I think Atlanta would be a good spot just because Todd Gurley's kind of injury prone. But you know what? Let's move on to the next story that we have. Terrell Pryor has been kind of in the news a little bit. A new story came out today by TMZ that he was considering two teams, the New England Patriots and the Pittsburgh Steelers, as landing spots to go play. Now, you know, it's kind of hard. He's a free agent, so teams have to really be impressed by him. But do you guys think one of these teams could take a chance on him?
Yeah, I do. I mean, listen, the Terrell Pryor saga in the NFL has been kind of an interesting one to watch. I mean, if anyone remembers Terrell Pryor coming out of Ohio State, he was one of the top college football prospects coming out of his high school. He was a dynamic QB there at Ohio State. Then he got caught up in a scandal of selling his team merchandise and stuff like that. So he dropped in the draft, went to Oakland as a quarterback. He ended up actually ripping off one of the largest QB runs against the Steelers, against his hometown team. So that's an interesting little tidbit. But anyway, then he went to Cleveland. He didn't work out as a quarterback. And they actually transferred him and sort of transitioned him into a wide receiver. And he actually had a season there where he caught over 1,000 yards. I think it was 77 receptions and 4 touchdowns. So that's peak Terrell Pryor there. That's what you can get if you could get him healthy and on the field for 16 games. He didn't take a contract with Cleveland. I think they offered him a 3 or 4 year deal. He wanted to bet on himself, went to Washington, and unfortunately got injured. Didn't have as good of a season as he wanted there. Now he's just bounced around. He's went to Buffalo. He's went to the Jets. And he recently was most on the Jaguars. So, look, he's an athletic guy, 6'4". He ran in between the 4.3 and 4.4 range in the combine. I don't necessarily know if he can run that. I will say, little tidbit, I've seen him training at my local high school football field. I know where he trains in the off season. It's about 5 minutes away from my house. So I've seen the dude running routes down there occasionally. But, I mean, he's a fast guy. He's huge. He could be a big red zone target for any team that wants him. It's just whether he could stay on the field. I think a team could take a chance on him. Don't know if it would be the Steelers. I think they would have already taken a chance early on in his career with that hometown connection. But it could be the Pats. I mean, they're probably one of the most wide receiver needy teams in the league right now. So I could see a team giving him a call. I know teams have said that they've talked to him. So I do think we could see Terrell Pryor resurge in the NFL here and see a roster for this upcoming season.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. I can definitely see him possibly signing with a team. If anyone, it'd definitely be the Patriots. You know, Belichick's been known to sign, you know, veteran wide receivers like in Josh Gordon, Antonio Brown, or take chances, sorry, let's just say on prior wide receivers. But he's also 31 years old, and he hasn't played in the league for, you know, played in like a real game for like a couple seasons now. So I mean, we gotta see. I'm not big on him. I've never really been a big Terrell Pryor fan in general, but yeah, I would love to see him get back out there, though.
I'm not going to lie. I think Noah's a little biased because he's a hometown kid and Noah saw him work out. Subtle flex there. Thanks, Noah. But, you know, over the past few years, I mean, you look at his stats, he's had like 200 yards, 17 yards, 200 yards, 200 yards. He had one 1,000-yard receiving season. So he's been really inconsistent, kind of off the map. You know, if a team's going to take a chance, I think it'd be New England over Pittsburgh, just because Pittsburgh's receiving core, now that they drafted Chase Claypool, is a little crowded, and New England needs help. You know, N'Keal Harry, I saw a workout video of Cam Newton throwing to N'Keal Harry. The guy didn't even look like he could get any separation against no corner that was even covering him. I mean, the guy was running routes, and it looked like he was just so slow, just breaking, you know, into his routes and things like that. He looked terrible. So, I mean, I'm high on him. I like the Patriots drafting him, and I hope that that was just, you know, just a walkthrough kind of practice thing. But, you know, I think the Patriots need help at the wide receiver position. We kind of talked about that a little bit last week. But let's move on to our next news story. Over the weekend, there was a big UFC fight, UFC 251, which happened on Fight Island, which was in Abu Dhabi. They moved the fight over there. So actually the fighters over here, the fight happened at about, the main card started at 10 o'clock at night. I think it was like 6 a.m. in the morning that the fighters were fighting there, but it was a great card. The controversy came when Alexander Volkanovski fought Max Holloway, and Holloway looked like the better fighter all night, but they gave the split decision to Alexander Volkanovski, which was not taken well by many people watching the fight. On Twitter, it went crazy that he even won, because it looked like Max Holloway was clearly the winner. So there was a little controversy there, but the main card was Kamaru Usman versus Jorge Masvidal. And I mean, it was a great fight. Usman wrestled Jorge Masvidal, which he, you know, Masvidal's not really good at that. So it was just, you know, Usman kind of wore him down. Masvidal took the fight on a 6 days notice. He had to lose 20 pounds in 6 days.
It's absurd.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
But, I mean, he took the fight. Good sport. They had some bad blood between the guys, but it was a clean fight. It came down to Usman winning via decision, and, you know, I made a little bit of money on that, subtle flex. But, you know, it was just a good fight, and I hope, you know, I love watching UFC. I really do. And I think that it was a great idea to have the Fight Island in Abu Dhabi. It was just a great fight. But also over the weekend was the golf tournament, the FedEx Cup, which actually happened today. And it was absolutely crazy. I'm not a big golf watcher just because I can't really get into it, but I'll, you know, here and there I'll watch. I tuned in to the last couple of holes. It was just absolutely incredible. The players were, it was just so close. And it was between Justin Thomas. Unbelievable. They went into a triple playoff. Colin Morikawa was just hitting all his putts. Justin Thomas hit a 50-yard putt in extra holes, which was just unbelievable. They were going back and forth. But ultimately, to his demise, he hit a drive on the third playoff hole, and it landed right behind a tree. And it was just, you know, it was kind of heartbreaking. You were like, oh, no. Like, he's totally done. You know, this is going to be hard to recover from. Colin Morikawa, great deserved win. They battled it out to the end, and it was just a great win. I know Noah's a big golfer, so, you know, he's got to teach me some things because I'm not very good at golf. But I like to play, and it's kind of interesting to watch, especially today. It was just a great match. But, you know, the last thing in the news that happened, this was actually a news story from 2 weeks ago. David Njoku requested a trade from the Browns, and, you know, people can think, and it can be reasonably estimated that he asked that because they brought in Austin Hooper over the offseason. But, you know, David Njoku is a great player. He's still on his rookie contract. Where do you guys think David Njoku could go?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of landing spots for him, mainly just because he's athletic, and it's actually rumored since last season that he wanted a trade. I just don't think he's very happy in Cleveland. I don't know if he feels underappreciated, and like you said, with the acquisition of Austin Hooper coming, that just probably is an even lower blow. His agent says that he just wants out. It's the best. It's in the best interest for him. But my top landing spot for him would be the Washington Redskins. They don't really have anyone too stunning on their depth chart. Last year's tight end for them was Jeremy Sprinkle. He had 40 targets, which is pretty decent considering the two prior seasons they had veteran Vernon Davis there in Washington. But is 40 targets and 26 catches jumping off the page at you as stud numbers? Absolutely not. I think Njoku is a more athletic tight end than Sprinkle. The only concern is injury. He's had issues with his hand. He's missed games. He's obviously unhappy in Cleveland, so I don't want to say that he's easy to quit. That's probably too much of a stretch there. I don't want to reach too far. I just don't think he likes the situation, so that's why I think of going to Washington. Fresh new system with Ron Rivera. We know Ron Rivera tight ends, mainly Greg Olsen, have done well in the past, so I think he'd be a nice target for Haskins there. He's a young QB who could use a reliable tight end, and if Njoku could stay on the field, I feel like he could be that reliable presence for him. But Ryan, what do you think? Where do you think Njoku could land?
I actually love that Washington pick a lot, Noah. But I actually do like the Falcons to replace, you know, Austin Hooper. They need another tight end, another big tight end for Matt Ryan, another target for him. I know Sanu left last year as well. Now Austin Hooper. So, you know, they don't really have too many weapons besides Calvin Ridley and of course Julio Jones. So I think David Njoku would be a nice fit for the Falcons.
You know what? I like the Redskins pick just because, you know, Vernon Davis is getting old, but I do love Vernon Davis. He's a great, you know, he's an all-time tight end, honestly. But the Falcons is also a good pick. They did bring in Hayden Hurst over the offseason from Baltimore, but he hasn't really planned out to be as, you know, the first-round pick that he was drafted as. My pick for David Njoku would be the San Diego Chargers. Well, not the San Diego Chargers anymore, the LA Chargers, excuse me. But I think that he could go there just because Hunter Henry is really injury prone and, you know, they kind of need a tight end there. Maybe could develop with Justin Herbert or Tyrod Taylor, whoever becomes the QB there. So I think that he could go to San Diego, but you know, he's a great player. He's really young and there's not much baggage associated with him. So I think that a team should really make a play on here and try and make a trade for him, bring in a good player. He kind of reminds me, lumps into the conversation of tight ends with Evan Engram and OJ Howard, guys that are just drafted high and, you know, have a lot of potential, but really haven't lived up to it yet. And I think all three of those guys really, you know, this year could be their year to show out. And I'm really, I always draft Evan Engram or pick up Evan Engram because I'm like, you know what, this year's his year. Then he gets injured, he doesn't do well. So, you know what, I think this year is actually his year. And I think, Njoku would be in kind of a similar situation if he went somewhere else, whether it be Atlanta or Washington or LA. So I think that those are all good choices. But, you know, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And then we'll be back with our NFC team MVPs in about 1 minute. And we're back to the second half of the show. If you guys missed the first half, we opened up with the big Patrick Mahomes contract news. And then we moved into the In the News segment where we talked about Raheem Mostert landing spots, David Njoku landing spots. We also talked about the UFC fight that happened over the weekend, the golf match that happened over the weekend, and the way that the Patriots were able to restructure their cap space. But now we're going to get into the second part of our two-part NFL MVP segments. Last week we did the AFC MVPs for every team. This week we're doing the NFC, and it's going to get really exciting. Last week it got very heated. This week it'll get even more heated because Ryan is a self-proclaimed Jets fan first. And for his NFC team, he's a Bears fan, which is very unfortunate because the Bears suck. So
that's bullshit. Can't have two teams.
We're strictly a Jets fan.
We're going to start right now with the NFC North. And you know what, Port? We're going to start right now with the Bears. First team Let's up go. On the Bears. I'm going to go with my MVP for the Bears is the best player. Oh, I should preface this first. Our MVPs, the way that we did this was we picked the most valuable player for the team, not the best player on the team. So, you know, there might be a really good player that plays the safety position. He might be the best player, let's say the Jets for Jamal Adams, but he may not be the most valuable player on the team because the safety position may not be the most valuable position. So that's kind of how we did our rankings here. But you know what? Let's get it kickstarted right now. I'm going to go with the Bears, and my pick is going to be Khalil Mack, one of the best defensive players in the league. I think you have to go with him. I mean, the QB position is just totally sucks, and the offense is not that good. And I think he's the best player on the defense.
Yeah. So, it's a decent offense.
And you know what? You can't even deny that. So, Noah, you're next. I don't want to hear from Port first. Noah, you're up.
All right, yeah. I'm going to go with Khalil Mack here. I actually really struggled to find who my MVP for this team would be because if you think about it, Khalil Mack had pretty solid numbers in Oakland. He averaged around 75 combined tackles. He's only averaged 47 on the Bears, so he hasn't had as stud of numbers. But still, I don't necessarily see any player that if they would miss, they would miss Khalil Mack more than any other guy on their team. Like you said, the QB position, I mean, I don't think anyone would miss Mitch Trubisky. I don't even think Bears fans would miss Mitch Trubisky if he wasn't in there. And look, the offense leaves a lot to be desired. And there are a lot of other decent players on their defense as well. I'm not going to knock their defense, but you can't go wrong without picking Khalil Mack. So, yeah, that's going to be my guy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Khalil Mack, arguably one of the best pass rushers and defensive players in the league. Yeah, no doubt. Obviously, it's Khalil Mack.
Let's move on to the Packers now. I mean, this is kind of one of the easiest ones. I had to pick Aaron Rodgers. Without Aaron Rodgers, the Packers were unwatchable. But with Aaron Rodgers, they're watchable. Still not Super Bowl champions or a Super Bowl caliber team, in my opinion. I don't think the Packers are even going to, you know what, they might make the NFC championship again. But last year, I thought that they were frauds the whole way. But I'm going to go Aaron Rodgers here.
Yeah, same here. I mean, no brainer. Don't want to spend too much time on this. He's one of the most efficient quarterbacks in the league. I still think he has one of the top arm talents, so, and definitely one of the best just all-around quarterbacks. Can't go wrong. Don't know why they drafted Jordan Love. There's clearly something going on there. Maybe they're preparing for the future, but yeah, Aaron Rodgers, no doubt.
Yeah, no-brainer. It's Aaron Rodgers, one of the best quarterbacks in the league and has been for many years. Yeah, you can't go wrong with Aaron Rodgers.
Let's move on to the Lions. You know what? I'm going to go here, Matt Stafford, just because when Matt Stafford went down last season, they were pitiful. So bad. I mean, no one could step in and resurrect that team that was on the roster. So I'm going to go Matt Stafford here.
Yeah, I'm going to follow suit. I'm going to also do Matt Stafford. It was interesting that I've been thinking about this because this one was going to be tough for me. But then I was like, actually, no, it's not. I think the Lions can't survive as a franchise without Matt Stafford. He was their pick after their abysmal 0-16 season, and honestly, they haven't given him much of anything to work with since. He does have decent weapons at wide receiver now with Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones, and he did have Golden Tate at one time, but listen, I think the Detroit Lions are honestly one of the biggest dumpster fires of an organization. They haven't given him any chance to win in his entire career. I feel like his career has been wasted in Detroit. If he has the opportunity to sign with another team when he's a free agent, he absolutely should do so. I feel like they've given him the short end of the stick there. It can't survive without him, so it's Matt Stafford for me.
No, I couldn't agree with you anymore. Yeah, it's got to be Matt Stafford. I'm just reading stats off right now. First eight games of 2019, the Lions were averaging 25 points per game, 391 yards per game, and 6.1 yards per play. When Stafford went down, the last eight games of the season, they averaged 17 points per game, 302 yards per game, and 4.8 yards per game. I mean, stats show it. Stafford's, you know, he makes a big difference. So Stafford's MVP for the Lions this year.
Let's move on to the last team in the NFC North, the Minnesota Vikings. And you know what? I had a tough time picking here because I didn't know whether I wanted to go Kirk Cousins, maybe Adam Thielen because he's just such a beast. But you know what? I'm going to go with Danielle Hunter. Because I think that defense is so depleted that without Danielle Hunter, they would just get run over. They lost Everson Griffin. They lost Xavier Rhodes. They lost Linville Joseph. That defense is just depleted now. I think the offense can still survive if Kirk Cousins were to go down. I think that they would still be able to survive with the weapons between Dalvin Cook, Adam Thielen. You know, they have enough weapons. If Thielen goes down, they just got Justin Jefferson. He could be okay. So, you know, I think Danielle Hunter, he's the last thread on that defense that's really holding on besides Eric Kendricks and Harrison Smith. So I think Danielle Hunter's got to be your guy.
Yeah, Mark, I like that pick. It was between Danielle Hunter and Harrison Smith for me, but I'm going to go with the latter here. I think Harrison Smith's been one of the most consistent players at the safety position pretty much for the past decade. He's been a cornerstone of that defense. And like you said, it's pretty depleted now that Everson Griffin is gone, excuse me. But yeah, look, I'm just going to go with seniority here. He's going to be a huge veteran guy for them. I think he's already a captain on the defense. It'll continue to do so. They do have Anthony Harris back there as well at the safety position. So those two are going to make up for arguably the best safety room in the NFL. But Harrison Smith's going to be my guy here. I think that they're going to miss too much from a leadership standpoint and what he brings on the field.
Port, before you go here real quick, I got a question for Noah. Noah, do you think Harrison Smith is the best player on that roster?
I do think Harrison Smith's the best player on that roster. Besides guys on offense like Adam Thielen, they did lose Stephon Diggs, but from the defensive side of the ball, they do have Eric Kendricks. They lost Everson Griffin, and like I said, Anthony Harris has been a nice piece there that has emerged. They did lose Xavier Rhodes in the offseason. I just think he brings, in combination with leadership and his skill set, he's one of the best players in the league, period. Not only at the safety position, but just overall. I mean, I don't want to say that he's underrated because he's been given some Pro Bowl nods, and I do think he has an All-Pro nod, but yes, I do think he's the best player on that team.
Yeah, this is honestly one of the tougher picks for me while doing the NFC. And honestly, you know, the Vikings roster is just, it's getting depleted every year. But I'm going to have to agree with Harrison Smith. The guy is, you know, he's a team captain for a reason. He's the leader of that defense. Of course, you have D'Leo Hunter and you have Eric Kendricks, who are two solid players as well. And of course, Anthony Barr. But yeah, Harrison Smith's the leader of that team. He's one of the best safeties in the league. To answer your question, Mark, also that you asked Noah, I don't believe he's the best player on the team. I believe talent wise, I would go with Dalvin Cook, but I'm going to go with Harrison Smith, though, as team MVP.
Okay. Fair enough. I mean, Harrison Smith is a great player. You know, he made our all-decade team as a safety because of his resume and his pedigree of playing. I think it's unbelievable. But you know what, Noah? I'm going to let you lead the next division. Where do you want to go next?
Let's take a trip out west, though. I'm feeling a little West Coast vibe right now, so I'll lead it off here with the team. So let's start out with the LA Rams, just with the softball no-brainer here. It's Aaron Donald. I mean, the dude's an absolute beast. He's the best player at the position, and arguably he's the top player in the league just in terms of the talent. I mean, you have to double-team the guy, and he's still going to get through the line. So I don't want to spend any more time on it. It's Aaron Donald, no question for me.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree with you more. It's Aaron Donald. He's led the team last year in sacks, QB hits, and tackles for loss. Arguably one of the best pass rushers in the league and probably could be at all time. So, yeah, definitely Aaron Donald.
You know what? You guys covered everything. It's Aaron Donald. There's no debate.
All right. I thought I should have gone in alphabetical order, but you know what? Since I already started out of order, I'm just going to continue the trend. So let's go with San Francisco here because I feel like it. Look, for me, it's George Kittle. Even though the tight end position is considered somewhat of a luxury, you have different teams playing with different sort of sets with tight ends. Are you just going to have them dedicated to blocking? Are you going to have a dynamic pass catcher? Are you going to have a mixture of both? Well, George Kittle does everything for them. He's one of the best blocking tight ends in the league. We know what he can do in terms of the offensive side of it. I mean, Kyle Shanahan moves him around both sides of the line. He could even line up outside as a wide receiver. I think he even had some end around runs there. But look, George Kittle is just an absolute beast. He's up there with Travis Kelce as either considered the first or second best tight end in the league. It's another no-brainer for me. George Kittle is he's their MVP.
I'm gonna have to go on the defensive side, Noah, and go with Nick Bosa. And although he was a rookie last year, he did win Defensive Rookie of the Year. But he had 9 sacks, 45 pressures on QBs, 25 QB hits, and 47 tackles as a rookie on arguably probably one of the best defenses in the league. So, and I think Nick Bosa is going to get better by each year. He was second overall pick for a reason. I really like Nick Bosa as an emerging star in the league for next year and upcoming years after that.
I'm going to have to agree with Port here, Noah. I'm sorry, but I got to go with Bosa. I mean, Bosa's just an absolute beast. The 49ers lost DeForest Buckner over the offseason, so that makes him more important. Their defensive line still has Eric Armstead. and it still has Dee Ford, but I think that, you know, Nick Bosa is kind of the anchor on that defense. He's the best player on the defense. They have Sherman, but Sherman, you know, he got burned in the playoffs last season. So I think that Nick Bosa is the best player on that defense. And honestly, he might be the best player on that whole team. I mean, that team is just made up of very good players, but he's a great player. And he's only had one year in the league. And I think that on offense, like you said, Kittle is the best player on that offense. Jimmy G is the second best. I love Jimmy G. For those that don't know, last season, the 49ers were my second team because I picked the 49ers to make the playoffs last season before the season even started. And I never thought that they would do that well, but, you know, I rode them the whole way, the whole season. And I just thought that Nick Bosa was just a real difference maker on the team. I think he's the MVP for the 49ers.
I like the defensive side of the ball pick, but just going forward here, this is all I'll say about Kittle, is that besides Jimmy G, they don't have anyone else on offense to throw the ball to. Emmanuel Sanders is gone, and Deebo Samuel isn't a wide receiver one. And without Kittle, they're pretty much just a system QB and a handful of half-decent running backs who only depend on their coach's brilliant playmaking mind to win them games. So that's all I'll say for that. But moving on here.
Hold on. Before
Oh my God. I'm running this division.
I will say, if they do pick up Devonta Freeman, and last week when we went over the Antonio Brown landing spots, I did pick AB there. Do you still think that Kittle would be the best player on that team if they got either AB or Devonta Freeman?
Well, Devonta Freeman hasn't been the best player on his team at any point in his career, so definitely not. And I think Antonio Brown might have a mental illness, so we don't know what he's going to be bringing there. So listen, I think Kittle's the best player on his team, period. It's up there with Bosa, because maybe 2 years later, Bosa becomes the best player. He's still very young, but I'm going to go with Kittle here. I love the guy. I mean, he's probably the most dynamic weapon that I've seen at the tight end position since Gronk. So,
absolutely, I couldn't agree with you more, Noah.
Fair enough.
All right, let's go with another easy one here before the last team. We'll go with the Seahawks first. It's got to be Russ, right? It can't be anyone else. Look, they've never given him an offensive line there. He should have two Super Bowls if it wasn't for them not electing to run the ball on the goal line with Marshawn Lynch, which still baffles me and pisses me off to this day, but I won't spend any more time on it. It's like Aaron Donald. I mean, he is the heart and soul of that team, Russell Wilson.
Yeah, absolutely. Russell Wilson, you take Russell Wilson away from that team, Seahawks are 3-13 easily. So, yeah, Russell Wilson.
You know what? I had a debate with myself. I said, you know what? Russell Wilson's on that team, but you know who else is on that team? Geno Smith. And I was like, you know what? Geno Smith, if Russell Wilson goes down, he could have a breakout season. But nah, I'm just messing around here. Russell Wilson, it's really not. Not even a competition. I think Russell Wilson, you know, he's.
I honestly thought you were going to say Bobby Wagner.
He's the second best player in the league, second best QB in the league behind Patrick Mahomes here. Russell Wilson, he's got to be the MVP for them. But I do love Bobby Wagner. But if Bobby Wagner went down, would the Seahawks still be good? Yeah, because they have Russell Wilson.
Absolutely. Yep.
All right, let's move on to the last one. Should have started with him, but Arizona Cardinals. Now, he might not be the best player on their team, but I do think he will be in a few years. I think that they're lost without Kyler Murray. They don't have any other answer at the QB position. I think Brett Hundley's their backup right now. And look, Brett Hundley's not a starter. He was Aaron Rodgers' backup. There's a reason why he's just bounced around from team to team. He had 20 touchdowns in 2019, 12 interceptions, 87 passer rating. Pretty solid stats there, and we know what he can do with his legs. He can run around outside of the pocket. I've said it on previous shows that he's pretty much a poor man's Russell Wilson in terms of an offensive line giving him zero help. I think he's going to have an even better season now with DeAndre Hopkins there. He allowed their record to improve to 5-10-1 from a 3-13 season the year prior. I think that they're going to be an even better team this year. That's Ports. I think, Port, you had mentioned that to us, that the Cardinals could be your dark horse playoff team. But look, I think that the Cardinals are absolutely lost without Kyler, so I'm going to pick them here.
Yes, sir. I truly believe that the Cardinals, like Mark picked San Fran last year, I'm picking Cardinals this year. I really do believe in Kyler Murray, and this is why he will be my my team MVP for them. He's got the help now. He's got D-Hop. He's got now a Christian Kirk who's got a few years under his belt, and he's got a veteran and Larry Fitz that can show these, you know, Christian Kirk and D-Hop, the ropes. And don't forget, they picked up Kenyon Drake, and he went off for 4 touchdowns last year in the last 3 games. I think he went off for 4 touchdowns in 1 game, right after they traded for him. So it all rides on Kyler Murray. And don't forget, they just picked up they just drafted Isaiah Simmons, and they also have Chandler Jones. So, you know, overall, I really do like the Cardinals to go deep, possibly make the playoffs. And I know that's kind of crazy in such a tough, probably the toughest division in all of the league. But I really do like Kyler Murray, and this season truly rides on him.
You know what? I was between Chandler Jones and Kyler Murray just because Chandler Jones is one of my favorite players in the league, and he hasn't posted sub 10 sacks with the Cardinals ever. He's been absolutely unstoppable on that defense, but I have to go Kyler Murray. Without Kyler Murray, that team was garbage, unwatchable, but with Kyler Murray, they're exciting. With DeAndre Hopkins, they're even more exciting. So, you know what? I got to go Kyler Murray here. I'm going to agree with you guys.
I just want to say that I made a bet with Sean Bowles about, I don't know, earlier in the first fall semester, $100 bet that the Cardinals would go 8-8 or better, and that's before they picked up D-Hop and drafted Isaiah Simmons. And I'm sticking with that, obviously. So, Sean, I hope you're a man of your word, and I watch out for the Cardinals.
Calling them out.
Yes, sir.
For those of you that don't know, Sean was our roommate in college, so always having a roommate rivalry there. Gotta love it. But anyway, Mark, let's go to you. Are you going to lead us this time, or are we going to let Port lead us through the next division?
I was hesitant to let Port lead us, but you know, let's just do it. Let's see what happens. So, Port, what division do you want to go to next?
Let's go with the East, and let's start with the easy softball, and let's go with the Cowboys. And I'm going to start off with Zeke. You know, I think it's easy. You know, the offense runs through Zeke. You can obviously Dax. He's a good quarterback. The guy wants $40 million a year. Like, it's crazy though, But yeah, no, I think the offense runs through Zeke. I know Mike McCarthy, new head coach. I think he'll really help Zeke get back into form, and that Cowboys offense get back into form. So yeah, you know, and again, he's arguably one of the best running backs in the league as well. So I'm gonna go with Zeke.
Mark, do you want to not go last here? I'll defer to going last if you want to jump
sure.
to the middle spot.
Yeah, I'll go. Port, I'm going to disagree with you here. I don't think it's that easy. I don't think Zeke's the best player on that team. You know where I'm going to go? Amari Cooper. I think Amari Cooper is...
Ew! No!
I think Amari Cooper is the MVP of that team because before Amari Cooper, you can't say Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott sucked before Amari Cooper was even there. Amari Cooper came, turned Dak Prescott around. He rejuvenated that offense. Zeke is a great player. He's a great running back. I think the running back position is less important than the wide receiver position. I'm going to go Amari Cooper here just because he transformed that offense, and he helped Dak evolve into a quarterback that he is. I was about to say great quarterback, but then I would have looked like an idiot. But he helped that offense evolve into what it is, and I think Amari Cooper is really the MVP of that team. Without Amari, who's Dak going to throw to? How's that offense going to – he can't just run the ball every single play. The offensive line is not the same that it's been. Travis Frederick's gone. It's not the same. So I think that, you know, with Amari Cooper, without Amari Cooper, they're dead in the water. I think Amari Cooper's the MVP.
All right, listen here. Kids, don't do drugs. Mark is clearly just out on another planet right now. I thought Port's pick was a little shaky with Zeke, because they have Tony Pollard there. But Mark, what are you talking about? He had Dak Prescott had his best season in terms of a record and completion percentage without Amari Cooper. He didn't turn him around at all. They haven't made the freaking playoffs with him. What are you smoking, dude?
I think that Amari Cooper is – I wouldn't say that he's the most talented because Zeke has more talent in terms of position – but Amari Cooper is the second best player on that offense behind Zeke. I value the wide receiver position more, which is why I picked Amari. I do not think Dak is anything special. I think Amari kind of elevates that a little bit. And their defense, DeMarcus Lawrence could have been a pick, but last season he really did not have the stats to really back that up. I mean, who else are you going to pick, really, on that team? The only other player I would think who I was considering was Tyron Smith, because without him, they're really lost. But I have to go Amari Cooper here.
All right. Let me actually give my pick here, because I don't think you gave me the chance. But listen, I'm going to just defeat you with what you said earlier. You said their offensive line is shaky because of who they lost. So how is Zach Martin, the all-pro guard, not your pick? How can they run the ball without him?
I think
love Ezekiel Elliott in terms of the talent, but how could they run the ball without? How can Zeke be as effective without that offensive line? And how can Dak Prescott even be as effective without Zach Martin there? Listen, the dude has made the Pro Bowl every season he's played. He's only missed two games, and he's been an all-pro guard four times. I thought that this was going to be the easiest pick, no-brainer. I thought everyone was going to go with this. But think that you picked Amari Cooper, even though they just drafted C.D. Lamb, and they have Michael Gallup there as well. He might not even be the best player come the end of the season. They might love C.D. Lamb more there. Look, I'm going to go Zach Martin here. I'm fuming.
They may even possibly trade Amari Cooper.
But if you look at his stats with Amari Cooper, he's had the most passing yards and the most passing touchdowns with Amari Cooper on that offense. I think Amari Cooper helps him immensely, and it kind of brings a little bit of a distraction with, I mean, think about this. If Amari Cooper is not there, what are the teams going to do? They're going to stack the box because they know that it's either going to go to Zeke or, I mean, you can single coverage Michael Gallup, you can single coverage CD Lamb. One's a rookie, one's an average wide receiver. Amari Cooper, you can't single coverage him. He's absolutely unbelievable. That's why I picked him. But like you said, Zach Martin,
is he a top 10 wide receiver in the league?
That's why the Raiders traded him away, because he's so valuable.
Amari Cooper is a top 10 wide receiver in the league, in my opinion. And I think, we saw in Oakland, Amari Cooper was not as good. His stats were not that good. He wasn't good with Derek Carr. He comes to Dallas and he totally transforms that offense. He's a new player. I mean, and that's self-evident that he's a new player, and he elevated Dak. Dak had his best season last season, and Amari Cooper is on that team. So I think
now, he had his best season when he was offensive rookie of the year. And he
passed for 4,900 yards and 30 touchdowns last season. That's unbelievable.
I mean, it's a pretty solid season, but he went 8-8, so
he did go 8-8.
With Amari Cooper, too. So all of those numbers there got them to the playoffs? No. And they just drafted CD.
Statistically, he had his best season last season.
Listen, we'll agree to disagree here. I think that this was just an absolutely train wreck of analysis. I think everyone's all over the place. I'm clearly the one who's the most right here, but we'll move on.
We'll move on. And let's move on to the rivals, I guess, in the New York Giants. I guess I'll start first, and I'm going to go with, obviously, I think it's a pretty easy one, but I thought last one was too. I'm going to go with Saquon Barkley. The guy's a stud. He's 2018 Offensive Rookie of the Year. He's a one-time Pro Bowler. He's got his rookie year, he had 2,000 all-purpose yards. I mean, last year he had 1,400 all-purpose yards as well. You know, the guy's a stud. You know, you can't take him down. He can catch. He can catch. He can obviously run the ball. So yeah, and the offense runs through Barkley, and arguably he could be the best running back in the league.
Mark, don't scare me here.
I'm gonna have to agree with you here too, Saquon Barkley. I don't think there's really anybody else that you can really say is more valuable than him. He's really that offense, especially since Daniel Jones is so raw. Saquon Barkley's the guy.
Yeah, I'm going to pick the same thing here. If Eli didn't have Saquon in Saquon's rookie season, I don't think that – look, I would go out on a limb here and say I don't think they would have won a game. I mean, he was pretty much his number one target coming out of the backfield, and that's saying something. Eli couldn't throw the ball down the field. That team literally runs through Saquon Barkley, so yeah, no brainer.
I mean, with that being said, I still believe the Giants going 3-13. So, but we'll move on. We'll move on to the Philadelphia Eagles, and I'm gonna go with another quarterback with Carson Wentz. You know, the man. He's struggled with the injuries the past couple of years or here and there, but I think without Carson Wentz, that team is it's kind of like Seattle. You take him away, you don't really know. And I think and I. That with that being said, of course, with Foles coming in, winning the Super Bowl in 2017, but you know that was just his run. That was Nick Foles' run. So, and there's nothing you can never do. But you know, you got to think who brought him to that position. And that's Carson Wentz. So I'm gonna go with Carson Wentz here.
I'm gonna disagree with you here. I don't think Carson Wentz is the most valuable player on this team. I'm gonna go with, and I'm gonna break the rules here too. I'm gonna pick two guys, and it's kind of because I couldn't choose between them, Lane Johnson and Jason Kelce. I think that offensive line, those two players are the most important players on the team. Just because without Carson Wentz, that team has proven that they can still win games. I mean, they won the Super Bowl without him. I don't think he's the most valuable player on that team. Last season, when he was throwing to absolutely nobody, he had no receiving threats. He was really good, but I think the offensive line is a big part of that and the reason why he was able to, you know, be so effective. But I think the offensive line between Lane Johnson, Jason Kelce, like I said, I can't pick one. They're both so good, but I think that one of them has to be the MVP on the team.
Yeah, I'm going to keep the trend going here and disagree with both of you, go with a different player. I'm going to go on the defensive side of the ball, and I'm going to go with Fletcher Cox. Listen, the dude's made the Pro Bowl the last five seasons. Also has an All-Pro nod. He's only missed two games. I mean, look, coming off the edge there, he's arguably one of the best players at the defensive lineman position to do it. I feel like he's going to be the staple for that defense for years to come, as he already has been. I wanted to pick Carson Wentz so bad, but like Mark had said, the Super Bowl with Foles, and even this season we're talking about this year, Wentz did have a pretty impressive run with absolutely no help at the wide receiver position and making the playoffs, but they just drafted Jalen Hurts, and I do think that they are going to use that. We said that on previous shows, so I'm going to go with Fletcher Cox here on the defensive side of the ball. I feel like he's arguably the best player at that position. He's definitely the best player on the team.
Yeah, I agree. The Fletcher Cox, well, I agree with, you know, he is the best defensive player on that team, no doubt about that. But I guess let's move on into the final team in the division, Washington Redskins. And this is another tough team to pick because, you know, not a lot of talent on this team. But I'm going to go with the young stud in Terry McLaurin, wide receiver. Rookie. He was a rookie last year. He had a breakout rookie season. He had 7 touchdowns. He averaged 15 yards per catch. He had almost had 1,000 yards, 919. You know, it's tough when you don't really have, you don't really know who the quarterback is going to be. It could be Haskins, could be Alex Smith again. But I'm going to go with Terry McLaurin, wide receiver.
I almost picked McLaurin here, but you know what? I had to go with Ryan Kerrigan. I think Ryan Kerrigan is the best player on the team as a whole. And I think that he's the staple on that defense. That defense doesn't really have anybody else. I mean, they just got Chase Young. They have Montez Sweat. Montez Sweat hasn't really lived up to his hype. They had Josh Norman. He left for Buffalo, and they're paying the most to a safety in Landon Collins in the whole league, which is an absolute ripoff because he's a shell of what he was in New York. But I think Ryan Kerrigan's really the heart and soul of that entire team. He's the best player on the team, and I think he's the MVP there.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you can't pick a rookie here. I've seen the offseason workouts with Young. He looks like an absolute beast. But, Mark, I'm actually going to agree with you here. I'm going to go with Ryan Kerrigan as well. Before last year, he made 3 straight Pro Bowls. And I do feel like the attention was all on him last year. He couldn't get off the line because I feel like people were double-teaming him. With Chase Young coming and playing on the opposite side, that pass rush is going to be a legitimate threat. Not just in that division, just but for any teams. I mean, that Washington Redskins defense is going to give people problems, and I do feel like Ryan Kerrigan is one of the reasons why they're going to be so successful. So you can't give it to Chase Young here just because he's so young and he's going to be so raw, but he's going to learn a lot from Ryan Kerrigan. So, I'm going to agree with you, Mark. I'm going to go with him.
I was just going to say, like, besides Joe Burrow, I'm really looking forward to seeing – watching Chase Young this year. The guy is an absolute stud, man. Like, he, you know, Ohio State just breeds defensive ends, obviously with the Bosa brothers. And this guy, man, he's so NFL ready, and he's scary. I would, you know, if I'm an NFL lineman, I'm playing against him. You know, do not underestimate him, even though he's a rookie. He is a beast.
I just want to say, off topic, totally off topic, but it just came across my phone as an alert. The Washington Redskins, Dan Snyder said that they're going to announce a team name change on Monday, tomorrow. So the Redskins will no longer be the Redskins tomorrow. It'll be interesting to see what they change the name to. You know, follow us, check up on our Twitter. We actually changed our Twitter name. It's On the Line Takes is our Twitter name now. Easier to follow us on Twitter, but we're definitely going to be posting about this, and we'll let you guys know what comes of this name change come Monday. But that's actually, that's big news for the NFL. But you know what? Let's get back to our rankings here. We did the NFC West, we did the East, we did the North. We got one left. We'll do the South here. Noah, who do you think we should start with here?
You know what? Let's go with the Falcons here. I was talking about the alphabet and go it in order with the last division I ran. So go with the Falcons.
The Falcons have just a loaded roster, in my opinion. I think the Falcons could be a playoff team this year. I'm high on the Falcons every year. Last year, I thought the Falcons could be a playoff team too, but they were wrong. I mean, I was wrong, and they didn't do very well until the end of the season, but I love the Falcons this year. My MVP for the Falcons has to be Julio Jones. I think he's the best player on that team, and I think without him, they're kind of lost. I could have gone Matt Ryan here because without Matt Ryan, who's their backup, I think it's still Matt Schaub, but I think Julio, he's a difference maker, and without him, they're not the same.
Yeah, Mark, I'm going to agree with you. Without Julio Jones, I mean, there's virtually no offense and with the Falcons. I know they just acquired Todd Gurley, but he's injury prone. You can't really rely on the new guy coming into the system like that. Julio Jones is the best wide receiver in the league, in my opinion. I know Noah is a big Julio Jones fan as well. But definitely Julio Jones.
Yeah, it's going to pain me to not pick him here. Like you both said, absolutely just one of the best weapons, if not the best wide receiver in the NFL. He's super dynamic. Mark, I'm going to have to go with your latter pick. I'm going to go with Matt Ryan just because I don't think Matt Schaub's the answer if that team goes down. He's the only other QB on the roster as well, so that's really concerning. Look, I think that they're all sold with Matt Ryan. Veteran leader, look, I think he did enough to win them that Super Bowl. I feel like the defense just completely blew it when they were playing New England. I feel like without Matt Ryan, that offense isn't nearly as dynamic from passing the ball. Even though I think Julio Jones is the best player by far on that team, I'm going to go with Matt Ryan here just because I feel like without him, they're really not as dynamic in terms of what they can do passing the ball.
Let's move on to keeping the alphabetical order. We're going to go with the Panthers now, the Carolina Panthers. I'm going to go here CMC. He is that team. He's the entire Panthers team. Last year, Kyle Allen was just a role player, but CMC was really that team. I think it's really a no-brainer here, CMC, MVP of the Panthers.
Yeah, absolutely. Christian McCaffrey, over 2,300 all-purpose yards last year. I mean, yeah, there's no doubt he is that offense in Carolina. Definitely CMC.
Yeah, you both said it all. He is the team. There's no other way to put it, so we can move on.
Let's go with the New Orleans Saints. And I know if you guys got angry at Amari Cooper, you guys are going to hate me now. I'm going to go with Michael Thomas as my MVP of the Saints. Because without Drew Brees, who did they have? They had Teddy Bridgewater. And with Teddy Bridgewater, they were able to win games. I believe they went to Seattle and beat them with Teddy Bridgewater, and I think it has to do in part to Michael Thomas being the best receiver on that team and the best receiver in the NFL. I have to go with Michael Thomas here. I think he's the most valuable player to that team, and without him, I think they are not even close to being as successful as they are.
Yeah, Mark, I honestly couldn't agree with you more. I was really close to picking Drew Brees, but like you just said, they went 6-0 with Teddy last year as a starter. And they went into Seattle and into Chicago last year, two very tough defenses to win games in. And Michael Thomas is an absolute beast. Again, probably top three wide receivers in the league. Again, could argue he is the best wide receiver in the league. No doubt. I believe it's going to be Michael Thomas.
Mark, you mentioned how stacked that the Atlanta Falcons roster is. you could say the same for the Saints. I don't think they have a true weakness really anywhere. Because if you look at every position, look at Alvin Kamara. He's got Latavius Murray backing him up. Look at Drew Brees. Not only does he have Taysom Hill, and he did have Teddy Bridgewater, now he has Jameis Winston.
Yep.
And you could say that for any other position. So I am going to agree with both of you here. With Michael Thomas, the best backup there was Tre'Quan Smith. They do have Sanders coming in this year, but I don't think Manuel Sanders is nearly as good as he was, let's say, 5 years ago or so. Michael Thomas is an absolute beast. I mean, you saw the stats that he put up last year. I feel like he neared 150 catches, right? I mean, that's just absolutely absurd. So I'm going to go Michael Thomas here, no doubt.
Let's move on to the last team here, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't want to go first here. I'm gonna defer to Ryan. You go first. Who's your MVP for the Bucs?
Oh, man, another stacked team. I mean, I'm going to have to go with Shaq Barrett, man. He led the NFL in sacks last year. He had 58 total tackles last year. He's one of the best rushers in the league. I mean, I was going to go with possibly Tom Brady, but, you know, he's with a new team, and you could say with Gronk the same thing. He's, you know, new team, new players on new teams, so you can't really go with them. I'm going to go with Shaq Barrett. He's one of the best defensive players in the league right now. I hope he continues to be, and I know he's going to his seventh season, though, so it took him a little while to get going, but hopefully he can start get going as and continue to be a leader on that defense, on a fairly kind of weak defense. So Shaq Barrett for MVP.
Mark, should I go here, or do you want to save yourself for last?
I want to go last. No, I want to hear what you have to say.
Look, there are actually a bunch of players on this team that you could go with. Since Mark had mentioned his Niners pick, Port mentioned his Cardinals. My call last year was Chris Godwin was going to be an absolute stud, and it turned out that way. But they have Mike Evans there, so how could I pick him? How could they live without him? Look, I'm going to go with Lavonte David at the linebacker position. They do have Devin White playing on the opposite side, but Lavonte David was the third-ranked linebacker in all of football last year, according to PFF. They know their stuff. The dude consistently gets around 100 combined tackles every year. He's been a solid veteran presence for them. He's had his multiple Pro Bowl nods. I feel like Devin White's learned a bunch from him. I feel like he's going to captain that defense, especially coming from this year. I don't think their defense is as weak as they were, Port, because they do have Ndamukong Suh now. I think Vita Vea has improved as well. And like I said, Devin White's going to do the same. So, look, you can't pick Tom Brady here. He might lead them a championship. He might not. Who knows? But I'm going to go with Old Reliable here and Lavonte David.
Those were the two players I was between when I was trying to make my pick here, Lavonte David, Shaq Barrett. I have to agree with Port here. Shaq Barrett is my guy because I value a pass rusher. I think a pass rusher is really one of the most important positions on the team. You have to make a quarterback uncomfortable. Lavonte David is a staple of a linebacker. He is the epitome of consistency. Other than Bobby Wagner, I mean, he does not get his credit, but I have to say Shaq Barrett after last season, the pressure that he puts on a QB without him, I don't know if that defensive line can really get pressure. Vita Vea and Ndamukong Suh, they're good run stuffers, but I don't know if they're really QB sacks kind of guy, you know? That's why I got to go with Shaq Barrett here. But Lavonte David is an unbelievable athlete, an unbelievable linebacker. I just have to pick Shaq Barrett just because of his most recent season, what he's done lately. And I just, that defense, its front seven is unbelievable. Its secondary totally blows. It's terrible. They have no one back there. I can't even name one corner, one safety on that entire team. It's pretty bad. They need some help. You know what? Offer the Jets. Give them a second-round pick. I said a third-round pick for Jamal Adams. Give them a second-round pick, whatever they want for Jamal. Bring him over and win a Super Bowl. That's as easy as it's going to get for you.
I want first round or nothing.
Mark, I think that actually could happen. That's a bold take there. And before we move on from them, just because you two went with Shaq Barrett there, nothing wrong with that pick. I was debating between that as well. But do you think he will be, or he has been as effective, and will he be as effective going forward without JPP? Because he's nearing the end of his career there.
He is, and I think that JPP is a good player. I actually saw something the other day I'm going to go on a little bit of a tangent here. Sorry, Noah. But I saw something the other day. I don't know if you guys are well-versed on it, but living in New Jersey, all you hear is Giants news. You never hear about the Jets because the Jets haven't been relevant in forever since Mark Sanchez had the butt fumble. That's his most famous moment. But other than that, you know, we've been hearing about the Giants. And I saw something on Twitter the other day. It was like, who would you take? OCU Minora, Justin Tuck, or JPP? And when you look at it, it's like, I would take any of them. But when JPP was on the Bucks, I really didn't think he was that effective. He wasn't as good as when he was on the Giants. So I think that Shaq Barrett, without him, like you said, having Vita Vea and Ndamukong Suh there to distract, I think Shaq Barrett can also have another great season. He may not have as many sacks as he did this season, but I think he could still post double-digit sacks this season.
Good stuff, dude. I mean, like you said, Shaq Barrett, absolute beast. You can't really go wrong with either of the picks, in my opinion. The two guys we have are pretty solid players.
And you could easily make the argument for on the other side of the ball with Mike Evans and Chris, and like you mentioned, Noah, with Chris Godwin as well, two stud wide receivers that can that are possibly top 10, both of them top 10 wide receivers in the league. So
very true. You know, and honestly, if one was not there, let's say that it was just Mike Evans on the team, he would be the MVP.
Absolutely.
Chris Godwin on the team, he would be the MVP. But since they're both there, that's why we couldn't pick them. But like you said, they're both unbelievable.
And, you know, you can't forget, like, you know, Gronk's coming into the picture also. So now Tampa Bay's offense is plenty of weapons now. Plenty of weapons.
It's crazy. It's going to be exciting to watch, definitely.
But absolutely.
That pretty much does it for us this week on the On the Line podcast. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at On the Line Takes, new Twitter handle. We're going to be posting updates, especially following that story about the Redskins changing their name tomorrow. Don't forget to give us a like, you know, respond to any of our tweets, give us a shout out or anything like that. If you want to come on the show like Ryan has done, you know, you guys are more than welcome to do that. We'd love to hear your input. And, you know, any improvements, any segments, anything you guys want to hear, we'd love to hear it. But Ryan, you know, we thank you again, dude, for coming on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure this week. And, you know, we'd love to have you on again.
Seriously, thanks for having me, guys. I was glad that you asked me to come back, seriously. So I'll be glad to come back again.
It's an awesome addition.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. And Noah, dude, as always, dude, it's been an absolute pleasure working with you. But, you know, like I said, we're going to agree to disagree, but I just want to put one more thing in. Amari Cooper is the MVP of the Dallas Cowboys.
Dude, you're gonna make me have nightmares with how you think in terms of your football logic. I just can't get over it. But, dude, like you said, agree to disagree, but it's always a pleasure. Have a blast doing this. And like you said, Ryan, love having you on, man. Definitely will have you on in the future. These debates have been some of the best content we've had for the show. So,
absolutely. I love doing this.
All right, everybody, have a good week.